evening. I want us to think for a moment what comes to our mind when we think about the word service. Some of us might think about service to country and going into the military to serve our country. Others of us might think of service in, for the needs of others, as in benevolence or serving those who can't help themselves. Whatever the case may be, or however you may interpret it, there is one question that we can ask all of ourselves here in this building. What about service for us as Christians? What does it look like for us as a Christian body? Is there a type of service shown in the Bible that we can follow? Of course, we can find several examples of service in the Bible. But let's turn over to Romans chapter 12 for tonight. As we continue our study through his word, we're going to be looking at chapter 12 of Romans. And we're going to be seeing, as Paul is continuing to teach the Jews and the Gentiles, we can see a glimpse of what that servitude looks like, as he describes in this chapter. I believe there are several instances of service that we can take from this chapter, just from here alone. So let's start with verses 1 through 2 to start out with. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Like I said, I want us to look over this chapter and see exactly what Paul has to say about what our standards of spiritual service are shown in this chapter. For our first standard of spiritual service tonight, there is individuals to one cause. Individuals to one cause. You know, when we watch a movie, and once we finish that particular movie, we see the credits at the end of the show, and they show us exactly how many people worked on the movie and who worked on what. With the movie or any other kind of work of art, we see one unified and complete project. But it only came together because of a variety of different individuals with different strengths and talents. Let's continue reading in chapter 12 of Romans. Starting in verse 3, and we'll read on through verse 8. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberally, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So starting off with the first verse I just read, verse 3, Paul mentions that no one among them shouldn't think too highly of themselves. We know that the Jews, as we have talked about before in previous Sunday nights, we know that the Jews had a bad habit of putting themselves above everyone else and proclaiming they were better than everyone around them. We see even back in Romans 2 where Paul scolds them for their holier-than-thou attitudes. But Paul continues on in these verses to talk about the many members that make up the one body of Christ, that is, the church. Something that is very important about spiritual service is teamwork. In fact, it's one of the most important. We have been blessed with numerous gifts from God, as it says in this verse. The different talents we have make us unique. But not only do our talents make us unique, our citizenship is the same. And that citizenship is with Christ Jesus. No matter how different we are still all one. Some of us are teachers, some of us are song leaders, some of us are good with money, some of us have different jobs, different experiences. But with all of our combined efforts, it is one of the most essential elements to making God's church grow. It is putting those gifts together to complement each other in order to help us grow. We can't be like the Jews that Paul was talking to in the book of Romans and think that we are better than anyone else or that any other talent is unimportant. We can't look at someone else and just see their talents and see it as useless because their talent is just as good as another person's talent. That taints the unison that should be present in the Lord's church. Whenever we watch a sports game, such as football or basketball, we can see one of the teammates of a particular team try to do his own thing during the game. We can see maybe, say, in a basketball game, you know, someone on one team has a shot that he can't quite make, and he can pass it over to someone else who has an even better shot. But instead, that one guy tries to shoot and fails. And we see with that, we see the entire team suffer from it. And it is no different from those kind of games. It is no different from the Lord's church in that aspect. We may disagree sometimes, but we must always remember whose we are and what we're all working for. With our different talents, we still have one goal, and that's to get to heaven with God and to bring as many people as we can. So secondly, for our next standard of spiritual worship, and it goes quite nicely along with this first one, and that is love with the love of the Lord. This is probably one of, if not the most important standard of spiritual life, or spiritual service, rather. Everything we must do must be done in love. Now, you must be sitting there thinking, well, isn't that obvious, though? This one should be really apparent. Well, yes, it is really apparent. But sometimes, I believe this is one of those aspects of Christianity that we can take for granted, just simply because it is something that should be obvious to a lot of us. We hear it a lot, that we must love, and everything we must do must be done in love. Sometimes we hear it so many times that, at least from what I've seen before, sometimes we can take it for granted. Let's continue reading in chapter 12 of Romans, starting in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Excuse me. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Love is an integral part of what I was talking about earlier in regards to teamwork. Jesus shows us several examples of this kind of love that he wants us to emulate in his life. I mean, Paul briefly explains this love in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 4, which says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant. What does that love of God look like, according to this verse? Well, like I said before, Jesus shows it. He shows it especially when he was going to the cross and while he was on it. We talked about that, or Brother Larry talked about that a lot this morning, and it goes quite along nicely with this. He shows that patience mentioned in 1 Corinthians by enduring all that, despite the fact he could have ended it all right then and there. He could have called 10,000 angels, as the song says. Why did he do that? There has to be a reason he had to do it. Why? He did it because he loved all of us. No matter what, we will never go through what he did. And because of that, that gives us no excuse to not show the love that he demonstrated. If he can go through all of that, then why should it be hard for us when we can't even go through or can't even imagine what Jesus went through to show that same kind of love to others? Matthew 20, verses 28 reads, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That service that he showed, even though we are the ones that should be serving him, truly show the kind of love he showed for us and the kind of love that we should strive for in our lives, both for each other and for Jesus and his Heavenly Father. Let's continue reading in chapter 12, starting in verse 14. Now, I want to show a different kind of love that's also shown in here. So this is kind of a second part to the second point. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will reap burning coals on his head. Now, on that same note that I was talking about earlier, I'm sure it took a lot of patience, not only for Jesus to get through the cross, but to still love those who were driving the nails in him. He even was praying to his heavenly Father as they were driving those nails in his hand. He was praying, Father, forgive them, for they knoweth not what they doeth. Despite everything they were doing to him, he still cared for their souls, despite the fact that they were crucifying the Son of God. We can think of numerous instances in our lives, and I'm pretty sure we can, where people have wronged us or things in this life have made us upset. And what do we do in those instances? Do we retaliate? Or do we show that love that Jesus shows? It's hard. Believe me, I know that this kind of love is hard for us to do sometimes, even through the suffering that we have endured in this life. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try as hard as we can to reflect that love that Jesus showed. As Christians, we bear his name, so we should be able to show that kind of love that would be well-pleasing to him. And it even says over here in verse 19, that vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In the end, God will take care of that which conflicts with us. Finally, for our final standard of spiritual service, first we have individuals of one cause, love with the love of the Lord. Finally, we have overcoming evil with good. I wanted to take this last point to look at the final verse of chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is one of my favorite verses of all time. This is a verse that is so simple, yet it has such a great message. No matter what happens, we should always remember that we serve a God that is good. Jesus overcame evil by dying on the cross for our sins and defeating Satan. We can overcome evil by being a part of God's family and in his kingdom. When we let that evil of sin overcome us, it is very hard to get out of its influence. That's why we cannot let sin influence our lives in the first place. We can't let it overbear us, or else we will be caught in its grasp. This verse has always been comforting to me as well, because it reminds us that no matter how much evil there is in this world, no matter how much evil, there is still good in the world. There is always a good to counteract that evil. The greatest good that we can have as a weapon and as a defense against evil is God's word and our service to God. Remember Joseph back in the Old Testament in Genesis? Remember when some of us may remember the story of Joseph, how his brothers threw him into slavery, and Joseph went on this long adventure of him being accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife, being sold into slavery, and several other things. But despite that, Joseph still remained with God and stayed on his side, despite the evil and all the punishment and all the suffering that he went through. In fact, at the end of Genesis, on the last chapter, in verses 19 through 21, it says in regards to Joseph, "But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." We all have a part in serving God according to the gift he's given us in accordance to his word. We must serve in love both to our fellow men even to our enemies, and most importantly, to God. We must also always remember that God is good, and He is the only one that can keep us from being overcome by evil. If you're not a Christian today, then you're being overcome by that evil. And I pray that you become a Christian tonight by believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then being baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, according to Acts 2 and verse 38. And I pray that you, if you have any questions about that, that you come to one of us, and we will give you a Bible answer to that question. And if you are a Christian, and maybe you haven't been serving like you need to, or you've let the overencumbrance of sin get the best of you, then I pray that you come forward tonight and become a part of God's family once again. Become a part of that good that overcomes evil tonight. Won't you come tonight while we stand and while we sing?